everybody. I'm Karen Hart Glass, and I'm here with my co-host Gary DeMattei for another episode of It's All About Food. Hey, Gary.
It's all about food, 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 food. Well, it really is all about food, isn't it?
It is, especially this week, which could not seem more exciting. Every week, it just gets more and more exciting. And why was it exciting? It was your birthday week.
I think that was upstaged by other news.
Yes, but we'll, in other news.
And we won't really discuss my birthday.
No, we will. We'll get to your birthday because it was
really
fun. Because
there are more important things out there in the world than my birthday. Nobody wants to discuss my birthday.
I do.
No.
I do because there were a lot of good things that came out of it that I think are applicable to many things
yes.
in life.
Lots of great things, like tortillas
and chocolate cake.
And chocolate cake.
And pancakes.
And pancakes.
But let's put that aside and come back to it later. I just want people to start salivating thinking about those things. But
well, this program is called It's All About Food, and we need to stay focused on food.
Well, but there's food for the body, and there's food for the mind and soul.
Yes.
So it really covers just about everything.
So if you're feeling crabby, it could have to do with what's in the news, but it could also have to do with what is in your body.
Or both.
Or
as
both.
As you like to say.
Or both. Today we're going to talk about what goes in your body and how it nurtures your mind.
Our minds need a lot of nurturing right now. Okay, so obviously
there's food still.
Yeah, we still have food.
We still have food available.
Food shortages have not come to all of us
just yet.
Oh my goodness.
And
we just had a wonderful Go Organic NYC delivery. Thank you, Go Organic NYC.
Thank you, farmers in the fields.
Thank you, farmers. I am so grateful for every bite. Okay, this week, it's intense. And I want to believe that many hopeful things will come from all of the events. So in addition to Gary's birthday and I think that's something worth celebrating. I'm glad you were born, Gary.
Well, thank you, Karen.
We had
a great time on my birthday.
Wait.
We had a Zoom party with some family and some friends. Karen surprised me. We were Zooming away with her family as we do every Thursday night for family dinner. And then all of a sudden, the Zoom page lit up and there were, I don't know, how many friends?
About 20 of them.
About 20 friends showed up.
From all over the country.
It was quite...
Popped in and surprised Gary for his birthday.
Everybody sheltering in place popped in and surprised me for my birthday. And Karen, that was one of the greatest joys I've ever had. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was fun organizing it.
I was really not doing well on my birthday because I had broken several sauces.
This is all about food. We had a terrible food morning on your birthday.
Yeah, a food morning on my birthday that we just don't want to remember.
Everything failed.
Everything did. I mean, I was trying to make a simple cheese sauce. It failed. I was trying to make something else. I don't even remember now. I blocked it from my mind. It failed.
I was trying to make a whipped coconut cream.
Oh, yeah.
So I had made the chocolate cake, the recipe that I created for my birthday over a month ago, and Gary wanted it for his birthday, and it comes with a whipped cream made from coconut milk. And many of you probably know if you take a can of coconut milk and put it in the refrigerator, the solid part separates from the liquid, and when it's cold enough, you open the can and you can scoop out the hard, solid coconut fat and pour off the watery coconut liquid. And from that coconut fat, you can make whipped cream. It's easy.
Yeah, you got out your little hand mixer, you know, the kind that you have to plug the beaters into, and you turn it on and you stick it in the bowl and it whips things up. Remember those? Karen's got one of those. They're great.
I stole it from my mother.
Yeah. I haven't seen one of those in ages.
But it works. Normally it works.
Yeah. So you were trying to whip up this.
Well, I opened the can and it was all mixed together. It hadn't separated.
There was no solid block of coconut fat.
And all it was the kind of organic coconut milk that has nothing in it but coconut. It has no guar gum, no anything.
So it was just, there was.
It just didn't work.
There wasn't even any coconut fat in the.
So I tried to make a custard out of it by adding. getting a thickener. And anyway, that was my disaster. Then you had a disaster with the
cashew.
Well,
let's talk about psyllium husks for a minute.
Okay, we're psyllium husk novices. We're silly with psyllium husks. Okay. I bought some a while ago, the powder, and I used it to thicken.
That's when it went wrong with the coconut milk, too.
I think I used it a long time ago, and I used it to thicken a pie, and it worked fine. And the secret to psyllium, we haven't quite figured that out yet, but you don't need very much to go a long
way. Well, we just figured that one out. The coconut milk, it started with that.
Yeah, so we added it to the coconut milk. That was
that you were
disaster.
Trying to whip up, and it made it fall apart.
Yeah.
And made it break. I've never seen a sauce break since I've been a vegan.
Yeah, it broke.
This broke.
And then you try to add it to
To add it to this cheese sauce I was making that's on the Responsible Eating and Living website.
You've made it a million times.
Normally, I would use a millet flour as my thickener. This time I thought, well, I'll just use a tablespoon of psyllium husk. As soon as I put it in the blender to blend everything together, it was even before I started heating it up. And that's normally when it starts to thicken. It just became this glue.
Okay, I'm not going to rub it in, but no one said to put in a tablespoon.
I know, but I usually put a quarter cup of millet flour in with the cashew cheese recipe. It was a disaster.
Yeah, a little bit goes a long way. So we're in the learning phase of psyllium husk.
So if you're having problems in the kitchen, just realize it happens to everyone.
To everyone.
Right. But no, these problems are not one iota even remotely close to what's going on in the world. And our hearts go out to everyone. We want to try and focus on some good news and some good things here. So we won't belabor any of the other topics.
We might touch on them.
Black Lives Matter for another time.
Well, it's for today's time, but I think what we want to talk about is going through your day and doing what needs to be done while massive changes are happening all around us. Now, if you want to participate and be part of a protest, that's up to every individual, and you need
Absolutely.
To determine what's important to you and what's going to take you out there. And for those who feel it's not appropriate, there's so many different ways to be a part of a movement.
To show your support for the atrocities going on in the world.
And, you know, having coronavirus at the same time just makes it even more of a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things that I have learned over the years from theater, from the arts, and from the study of being in the moment. There's a technique out there for actors called the Meisner Techniques, founded by Sandy Meisner. You know, it's based on the same things that maybe some of you have studied Eckhart Tolle, read his books, about the power of being in the moment. The idea is that when there's all sorts of chaos going on around you, the best thing for you to do is what we've talked about time and time again on this show, and that is to focus on the moment, just the moment at hand right now, to get over the stress that you're feeling about what's to come, the future. Because when we start thinking about the future and we start thinking about the past, we forget about what's going on in the moment. And so, yes, there's so much going on in the world that is not right, not well, starting with what's been happening recently. And how do you deal with that and stay sane? How do you deal with the injustices and stay sane? And one of the ways to do that is to just focus on the moment. And again, we've talked about breathing, we've talked about meditation, but more importantly, what's happening right now, right this second in your own life.
In your own environment. Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that you need to forget about the injustices going on in the world and the chaos, but you have to remain sane. You have to remain focused. You have to remain calm and cool as a cucumber, as Karen's father would say.
It's funny. My dad used to say, I'm cool as a cucumber, and he was very level-headed and fearless. But he didn't like cucumbers.
Right.
He couldn't eat them.
There's a lot of those ironies going on all over the place.
And this all has to do with food, too, because now there are a lot of things to stress about. And when people are anxious and stressed, they have a choice. They can reach for the healthy food to nourish them and stay sane and level-headed and calm. where they could reach for the junk food for a momentary bit of satisfaction that will only magnify the anxiety and the trouble moments later.
And you don't want that. We don't want that for you. We want you to remain calm and focused and cool as a cucumber. And on the subject of cucumbers, which Karen's father did not like, those are awfully good to have on a hot summer day.
Cucumbers?
Yes.
Yes, because they're part of the melon family and they taste like watermelon.
And they're great to put in your juice if you do some juicing.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're great to slice and put on your eyes if you've been crying all night, like I have. Now, I'm telling you to remain calm, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have remained calm.
Okay, a bit of transparency here.
Of course. But we have been making a lot of really good, nutritious food, and we need to talk about some of that.
Well, you've talked about how, and I've talked about how being in the kitchen is somewhat zen-like for us. Now, I know it may be stressful for other people, but when things get crazy, we get cooking.
We have to, because, I mean, that's how we keep sane, is to just keep putting recipes out and keep testing recipes and keep working on our nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living, because we think it does some good in the world.
I want to talk too about tortillas. I know I wrote a tortilla tutorial
last week. Right.
And I was talking mostly about corn tortillas, but in the recipe that we got from Donna, thank you, about sweet potatoes and cassava flour, I've made this a few times now, and I love the recipe, but I want to alert everyone that it's one of these fickle things. I think it depends on how wet or dry your cooked sweet potatoes are. Because when I first saw the recipe, I had beginner's luck with it. It was basically 1:1. 1 1/4 cups of sweet potato puree and 1 1/4 cups of cassava flour and 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda. You mix them up together and you make a nice dough. And then you start rolling and pressing your tortillas.
In the tortilla press.
In the tortilla press or between 2 sheets of parchment paper or wax paper. The second time I did it, I needed a lot more flour.
Yeah.
I think the sweet potatoes were very wet.
Right.
I don't know why or how, but I kept adding more flour because it was too sticky and it kept sticking to the parchment paper.
It was just one of those days.
It was one of those days. One of those, everything was failing.
One of those days in the kitchen. I mean, it was seriously one of those days.
We had a ghost.
Yeah, or something. Or maybe something. It was, well, of course, I'm going to assume that nobody wanted me to celebrate my birthday. So it was all going wrong. But it ended.
But it ended up right.
So well, I saw 20 people pop on the screen. Thank you, everybody out there who.
So if you're going to try the sweet potato cassava flour tortilla, which I highly recommend, just keep in mind that the ratio of one ingredient to the other varies. And make sure you have more flour on hand and more sweet potato puree on hand so that you can make the adjustments.
Yes, and don't use psyllium husks to try and thicken your cashew cheese. Stick to my recipe. It works. So to finish my Sandy Meisner story, life happens in the present moment. You can't think yourself into brilliance on stage. When you place your attention on the present moment, brilliance rushes up on you. That's essentially years and years and years and years and years of Meisner's study in one sentence. And it's all about the moment. Staying focused in the moment. And that you can easily apply to life. You can't will things to happen. You just have to stay focused on the moment and do the things that you do that you know in your heart to be true, and things will happen for the better. I'm telling you, it works. And when you start thinking about the future and thinking about how dark and miserable and bleak everything is, and stop focusing on the moment, that's when problems start. I was thinking about anything other than what I was doing in the kitchen, and that's why I had disasters in the kitchen. I was thinking about all of the things going on elsewhere and whether or not the day was going to turn out positive or negative, and that's when things started to go wrong. So focus on the moment. That's when it happens. That's when brilliance rushes up on you, and that's when good things rush up on you. Okay, that's my lecture for the day. You can all turn in your syllabuses because that's the end of class.
Your syllabus about psyllium husks.
Yeah, your psyllium husk syllabuses are done. All right, so anyway, back to food.
So let's talk about pancakes now.
Yes. And let's talk about the difference between some aquafaba and other aquafaba. Oh,
are you a good aquafaba or a bad aquafaba?
Sometimes we get great batches of aquafaba and it whips up.
It's another one of those things where, like the sweet potato puree, may have more or less water in it.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know what aquafaba is, it's bean water. Fava is bean, water is aqua, aquafaba, water bean, or water of the bean. And it's this thing in the can that everyone's been tossing down the drain. Like if you have a can of garbanzo beans and you drain off the liquid in the can, that's aquafaba. Well, what some brilliant mind discovered was that you can whip that stuff up like egg whites and fold it into all of the things that you normally use egg whites for, and or use it as a meringue for your meringue pie. We've been playing with it and having a blast with it, but sometimes we find that some aquafaba is better than other aquafabas.
Yeah, sometimes it takes like 20, 25 minutes to get stiff peaks out of the mixture, and sometimes it takes 4 minutes.
Well, this aquafaba for my late night corn pancakes that we had...
In the morning.
Which you can see on Karen's Instagram page. This aquafaba was amazing.
It was stiff in 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was really amazing. Now, of course, we have a K5 mixer. We didn't use the little hand mixer that we talked about earlier. We used the KitchenAid 5-quart mixer that we have with the big whip attachment on it. Notice I said whip. I'm hitting that P consonant, and it fluffed right up, and you folded it right into that batter.
In Jus Deaver's book, Aquafaba,
which we will link to.
Yes, because I interviewed her when the book came out. She gives instructions on how to make your aquafaba consistent when you're cooking your own garbanzo beans from dried beans. You need to have a certain amount of water to cook your soaked garbanzo beans in, and then cook them a certain amount of time. It's specific. You'll have more consistency with your aquafaba. And you could also reduce it down and evaporate some of the water and make it thicker. But we just used some canned aquafaba that you had frozen.
Yes.
And I defrosted it, and it just was perfection. And I folded it into the late night corn pancake recipe, which I have recently updated. As I've mentioned, I don't know if you're tired of hearing this, folks, but I used to use an all-purpose gluten-free flour, or I made my own, and they contained grains and starches, and I wanted to get rid of the starches, so now I'm using a steel-cut oat and millet and garbanzo bean mixture for most of my all-purpose gluten-free mixes. And in this late-night corn pancake, I just used corn from polenta that I grounded from polenta,
right,
and steel-cut oats.
Right.
Oh, no, rolled oats.
It was rolled oats.
Yes. It made a perfect pancake flour, and you just add water to it and baking powder. And then when the batter is made, then you fold in the aquafaba whites, the egg whites,
made from the
bean water.
Aquafaba, right.
And it's makes a very nice, light, fluffy pancake.
Yeah, they were delicious. And we went out on the terrace, where we now have a garden.
Oh, we went and bought some herbs.
Hey, everybody, I actually took another walk. We walked to the nursery, and we socially distanced at the nursery and bought plants.
Tomato plants, pepper plants, and herbs.
And we have some organic soil that we sent away for, and it was shipped to us. And we now have a garden. And you can also see that on Facebook or on Instagram.
I think
Instagram.
So. It's on your page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll post it again. We'll post pictures of our little garden on our terrace here at the Epicenter. That was wonderful. I mean, again, gardening really does, no matter where you're gardening, if you're gardening on your own big piece of land somewhere, or if you're gardening on your terrace in New York City.
Growing things bring you peace and joy.
It really does put you in the moment of what it is that you're doing. And it was wonderful. It was
lovely. And every day you see the growth. It's exciting.
We're watching. And we had some seeds too, some organic basil seeds that we planted. And now we're waiting for them
to grow,
sprout.
To pop up.
But it takes about 6 or 7 weeks. And hopefully we'll all still be here in 6 or 7 weeks. And if not, well, someone will have a nice garden to come to.
Oh.
Nah, a little.
So we had a nice breakfast out on the terrace with our late night corn pancake recipe in the morning, which really wasn't morning. It was close to noon.
It was delightful. With all the turmoil going on in the world, you need to take moments for yourselves to just recharge. And that was definitely recharging. And I recharge in the kitchen. I recharge at the kitchen sink when I do the dishes. It really is therapy for me. I don't know if anyone would agree with that, but...
Yes, it definitely is.
It really is. I like to do things with my hands. Sitting idly and just, you know, scrolling your phone or, you know, thinking about all the terrible things in the world is not good for me. I need to do other things.
Yeah, I like to fix things.
Yes, we've been fixing a lot of things around here. What did we do? We did some chores around the house. We did some reorganizing.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are doing this now when you have the time. And again, I acknowledge there are some people that are working 20-hour days and don't have the time. For many who are sheltering in place still and their offices haven't opened up or maybe they're starting to, they've had some time to work on projects at home. And I always have a long list, a long to-do list. And I've actually crossed a few projects off the list. There are still plenty more.
We crossed a major project off the list. What was it?
We bought air conditioners.
Ah, yes.
Now, I never wanted to buy an air conditioner. I have to confess, I realized that they're not the best thing for the environment. Okay, mea culpa. I didn't have one for a long time. And then it was in 2006 when I had a belly full of cancer and I didn't know, but I was feeling tired and miserable and it was getting really hot. And Gary and I just started talking on the phone. And you were in California.
Right.
And I was saying, it's so hot. And you kept screaming at me, get an air conditioner.
Get an air conditioner. You have cancer. Get an air conditioner.
Yeah, well, we didn't know I had cancer.
I know, but you were not feeling well.
I was not feeling well. And so even though I was very anemic, I went to a local store. I had one of these little luggage carts. And I bought a small air conditioner and lugged it home and managed to shove it in the window and turn it on. And I felt much better.
Yeah, you lugged an air conditioner. Get this, everyone. Karen lugged an air conditioner 3 miles to her apartment. When I heard, I just couldn't believe you had done that with a belly full of cancer that you didn't know you had cancer.
Well, we lived with that little air conditioner for a long time. I had it in the living room originally, and then I got yelled at because I didn't have it professionally installed. And here in New York City, as in many other places, there are strict regulations as to how to install an air conditioner when it's hanging out over the street for safety reasons. And I didn't want to permanently install it. So we ended up putting it in the bedroom that has a little window that goes over the terrace so it wouldn't bother anybody. And we could always pull it out and put it in the closet for the wintertime because I didn't like the leaks of the cold air. I wanted to be able to shut the window in the winter, right?
Right.
Even though I didn't like having an air conditioner because it is using energy, I tried to be as conscientious as I could be with it.
Well, here's another thing about Karen, though, everyone needs to know, is she doesn't like using a clothes dryer either. She brings the clothes up after putting them in the washing machine and she hangs them on drying racks. So you are a unique individual.
Yes, I'm not even using the laundry machine right now, but that's...
No, we're doing it in hand washing.
We're avoiding the laundry room because of coronavirus. We're being extreme here in some people's opinion, but we're just...
We're playing it safe.
We're playing it really safe. Anyway, that little air conditioner that could, it's getting hotter.
Yes.
There's no question it's getting hotter. Climate change is here, and we wanted to get better air conditioners, more efficient, that would cool the whole apartment rather than just the bedroom. When it was really brutal, we would turn it on.
And we did pretty well.
And we found the Hisense air conditioner. Don't know if you're aware of it. Don't know if you would like it. But it's portable. It has a hose in the back that goes into a panel that you can fit in your window.
And it has to be a vertical window.
It can be vertical or horizontal.
Or horizontal, but they have to be sliders.
They have to be the slider kind, not
Although we do know people who have the crank window who have made them work. As a matter of fact, our cousin Nancy and Wade were the ones that told us about the Hisense, and they have the crank window, and they're making it work. They have... made some adaptions to it. We found out about these. Karen did some extensive research on them, and they seemed to be the best option for what we wanted, which was something that we didn't have to stick out the window.
Exactly. And in the wintertime, we can roll them into a closet.
Right.
Once we clean that closet out.
They're about the size of...
They're little R2-D2s.
Yeah, little R2-D2s. Or the smaller droid, the one that's in the newer Star Wars movies.
Now, I want to mention that we have this older air conditioner, which my brother says he wants to use it. But it is really important if you are getting rid of an air conditioner, if you're disposing of an air conditioner, you must do it correctly. And if you're familiar with the project drawdown, which Right. has to do with 80 some odd solutions to climate change, the number one has to do with refrigerants.
Mm-hmm.
Because many refrigerants from air conditioners and other industrial machines are unfortunately just sent to the dumps. And the Right. refrigerants get out in the environment and they're very toxic and Yeah. they cause a lot of climate change. They put a lot of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. So
Project Drawdown's number one solution to reverse climate change is refrigerator management.
There you go.
Refrigerant management. Refrigerant management. Wind turbines is number two. Reduced food waste, number three. Adoption of a plant-rich diet
is number four.
Tropical forest restoration is number five. Educating girls, number six. Family planning, number seven. Solar farms, number eight. And the list goes on. You can find Project Drawdown lists on the internet. Oddly enough, or as if we planned it on this show, in the top 10 actually is the adoption of a plant-rich diet. That's why we founded Responsible Eating and Living, for a number of reasons. And the discussion of air conditioners is certainly the responsible living part of our organization, so that's why it's okay for us to be talking about it now.
We can talk about whatever we want.
Right, but I just want to stick to
sure.
talk. People are tuning in, hopefully, yes. to hear about food and how food can make their lives better, and the adoption of a plant-based diet is one of the ways that it can make your life better. It's made my life better, and that's why I'm here talking on your program that you tell me now I'm a part of. So, hey, I'm a part of it.
What I'm hopeful about with what's going on today with the protests and Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Matter.
Is the intersectionality where bringing different communities together, the community gets stronger and we can do more. So I want to believe that there will be more justice for more people. And through that, we will be able to get food justice. We will be able to get climate justice. We will be able to move forward and create a better world.
Let's make that the thing we focus on here yeah. at Responsible Eating and Living. That's very well said, Karen. Back to pancakes.
Now, it all comes back to pancakes.
It all comes back to pancakes. Now, we put some cool toppings on those pancakes, too. And we don't always do the traditional syrup on pancakes, although I do.
I don't.
But you made a nice apple compote because we have a lot of apples.
I've come on this thing with apples. I don't know what it is, but I'm...
How do you like them apples?
I'm obsessed. I'm thinking if I run out of apples, I'm going to panic.
Right. This will be the thing that Karen panics about, running out of apples. She won't panic about Manhattan and Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island and the Bronx and what other...
I need apples. Organic apples.
Yeah. Organic apples. And we get them. We get them yeah. delivered.
So what I used to put on a pancake or a waffle, I would make a fruit compote where I would cut in small pieces an apple or a pear, banana, add some berries, stir them together and cook them into a nice thick sauce. And I like that, but I wasn't in the mood for that. I was in the mood for a chunky cooked apple. So the precursor to applesauce, because I've been making a lot of applesauce lately for my apple cake experiments.
Right.
And every time I would look in the pot and see those cooked apples, I would think, oh, that looks good.
Yeah. And so we had them on the pancakes.
So we had the chunky cooked apples on the pancakes. And yeah. They were good.
We're doing a lot of flat preparation, a lot of flat, round preparations. Pancakes.
Tortillas.
What else? I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's it, Gear.
So we're not really doing that much.
Well, but we do make a lot of them.
We do. We made a lot of tortillas yesterday. You did. You were working the tortilla factory
well,
yesterday.
Well, like I said a few weeks ago, the crawling, walking, running concept, when you start something new, it's scary, you're awkward, you make mistakes, you repeat it, and at some point it becomes part of your repertoire. I've been increasing what becomes part of my weekly staples creation repertoire.
Right.
And I think I'm adding tortillas to that. A lot of people are getting into baking bread, and I'm getting into making tortillas.
I know. It's been wonderful. I love tortillas. I made a quiche the other day, which was awfully good, and I used this new flour that's shown up in our pantry. We had a little bit of garbanzo bean flour left over, and so I mixed it, per your suggestion, with a little cassava flour. I normally make a quiche or a frittata out of garbanzo bean flour as my quote-unquote egg batter, base of my egg batter. And I mixed it with a little cassava flour, and I thought it came out pretty well, that quiche.
Came out really good.
Frittata.
It almost was custardy.
Yeah, it was really good. So this cassava flour is working out for us. It's starting to branch out into other areas other than just apple cake.
I haven't said this in a long time, but I've always found through my journey with plant foods that when I eliminate a certain food and decide I'm not going to eat it anymore, my world opens up and I find all these other foods either as substitutions or just because I'm out there looking. And there are still foods I have not played with yet that are on my list. And these are different flours, like lentil flour.
Right.
We've had foods made with lentil flour, but I haven't made anything with it here.
So we
and
have
then
to
there's teff. And right. I have admitted before, I have been so teff curious and I have done nothing. We have this wonderful cookbook called Teff Love by Kitty Burns. And I interviewed her a few years ago. She won a bunch of awards because it was just a novel cookbook for its time, making vegan Ethiopian food. And
yes,
the foundation of Ethiopian food is teff. For their injera, these fermented, spongy, tortilla-like pancakes.
Yeah, there we go. We're still on the tortilla.
I'm still on the pancake
the
tortilla.
The pancake
thing.
Tortilla.
But every culture has their kind of bread.
And teff is a, some people call it Williams lovegrass or annual bunch grass. It's an annual grass, a species of love grass native to the Horn of Africa, notably what is today modern-day Ethiopia. It's cultivated for its edible seeds, also known as teff. And you can grind those seeds and turn it into flour.
Yes, and then there's this process where you ferment it and it makes this wonderful spongy pancake.
You and I have gone to, when we were allowed to go to restaurants, we have gone to Ethiopian restaurants and had teff, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, now what I learned when I talked to Kitty Burns is that many of the Ethiopian restaurants and the pancakes that they make, these spongy teff pancakes, are not 100% teff. They mix it with wheat.
They do.
Which can be problematic if you can't eat wheat.
Right.
But the authentic ones are all teff.
And this cookbook definitely works in the authentic realm.
So I've got to open it up. Karen's assignment, add to her to-do list.
The authentic realm of teff. I don't know if you caught that, but I just made
But how exciting. I mean, there are so many different kinds of plant foods out there waiting to be discovered in your kitchen.
Well, you just talked about lentils that can be ground into a flour and used and make pancakes out of it. We've had lentil.
We've had these hard, crispy
lentil crackers.
Wafers at Indian restaurants.
They're really good.
Really good.
Yeah, I like those. We'll have to experiment with some of those.
So we have a lot of experimenting to do.
Yes. And you know, there's a lot of good happening in the world too. There's a lot of people running for causes to help and save animals and support.
Well, not just running. These are people who aren't spring chickens.
Right.
If you excuse the expression.
Right.
We're talking about a dear friend, Sherry Soria, who just turned 73.
Unbelievable.
And she started running maybe 10 years ago or so. She and her husband, Dan Latterman, have been running a lot in marathons. They have a great life. They live outside of Mendocino.
Right.
Where the Living Light Institute is in Fort Bragg, I think, which Sherry founded. It's a raw food culinary institute. which she sold to some other people when they retired. And then they spent half the time in Montezuma, Costa Rica.
Right.
Which is where I actually met them, where they had the Raw World Festival some right. time ago. And she decided, since she was turning 73 this week, to run 73 kilometers.
Wow.
Which is about 42 miles.
And she did it.
And she did it. Now, she stressed she's not a fast runner. She runs about a 15-minute mile.
It's about my pace, too.
And then she did it in 14 hours.
Good for you, Sherry.
And originally, she discussed with her trainer about when to run and about taking a break. And he suggested not taking a break because so many people, once they run half of their intended mileage and then they take a break, they're not likely to go back out again.
Right.
But they had a number of different challenges this year. And because it was so hot and humid, they wanted to run mostly in the evening and at night. And so they did.
Wow.
But it was raining, I think, and it was getting kind of dangerous. So they ran 7 miles. They took a 3-hour nap and went back out and finished up the remaining 7 miles. And they did it.
Wow.
How many 73-year-olds can do that? How many 33-year-olds can do that?
Not many. Now, you just said they ran 7 miles. They took a 3-hour nap, ran 7 miles, took a three.
They ran. Oh, I'm sorry. Not. They ran 7 hours.
7 hours.
And then took a 3-hour nap and then ran another 7 hours.
Got it.
Yeah. They ran a total of 73 kilometers.
And the organization that she was running for was a rescue organization
right.
for animals.
The organization is called Wild Sun Rescue. You can find them at wildsunrescue.org. They do wildlife rehabilitation, rescue, rehabilitate, and release native animals that were sick or injured or orphaned. And they also try and protect against the power lines and transformers in Costa Rica that are uninsulated and many wild animals are electrocuted. Yeah, we talked about that once before. There's another organization that I talked to, Ankar Garcia Villa of the Jaguar Rescue Center, also in Costa Rica.
Oh, so we'll put those links up there.
Sherry ran for that and had other people run and donate to this organization. And
that's wonderful. That's our shout out for today is to Sherry and Dan.
Yes, and awesome.
Good job.
They're always shedding a lot of positive light.
Right. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep shedding positive light because there's so much negative light. Darkness.
That's called darkness.
Right.
Negative light
is darkness. The light is important.
So meanwhile, she has the ability to run out in nature, and they've had a certain degree of sheltering in place in Costa Rica, but not as much as here. They haven't been hard hit, and there are lots of places of open space, so it's easy to get out and run, unlike some other places.
Right.
And we're here.
But we have to start running again.
We need to start running again and get out again.
I propose we start running today, after this program.
Okay, you've heard it, folks. Gary and I are going to run today.
We're
going to
put on our running shoes and run today.
Yes. I like it. I've been wanting to.
Let's do that. Let's see if that actually happens.
Okay, you're on.
I mean, I don't think I could run that far.
No.
Because I haven't run in ages.
And slow. You
Very
know,
slow.
You start slowly. This is, again, with anything you do, never push and attack it intensely. Crawling, walking, running.
Right, taking baby steps.
Taking baby steps in the kitchen or on the pavement, wherever it is you're going, whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
You want to take a yoga approach. You want to feel resistance. You don't want to feel pain.
Yoga has been wonderful to me. It's been very wonderful. I've done yoga now since moving in here with you over 12 years ago, April of 2008. It has done wonders for me.
But again, slow,
oh, yeah.
consistent work.
Yes,
it takes time.
It's taken years. I mean, everything yeah. takes time. Once you get into that rhythm or that routine, it's hard to break away. I have to do it every day now. And if I don't, I feel like I'm cheating myself.
Well, I have to say that I'm very impressed. You have been tremendously disciplined.
Yeah. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just want to go off and do something that is away from things. It's weird. So, you know, you get these...
Humans are weird, Gary.
You get these urges to just stop and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I give up. You get the urge to give up. And it really is that simple.
What is it about us? Because every time we work out, every time, we are so happy we did when it's over.
Right.
Because it feels so good. Our bodies feel lubricated. And even the next day, if we worked out particularly hard and you feel those little aches and pains, they're good aches. They're not the bad aches when you fall and hurt yourself.
Right.
Muscle aches or, you know, you worked yourself.
It's important. It's important to just...
So why is it that we don't want to... Why do we have that resistance all the time?
I think it's because it's difficult. It's difficult to get yourself motivated to do good things for yourself. And that's why so many people just advertise to folks the wrong messages, right? They give people the wrong message when they advertise. They want you to buy things that are not going to benefit all of us. They want you to buy things that are only going to benefit you. They don't benefit you. They actually break you down.
It's about building new habits. I know that some experts in the weight loss community talk about the importance of building new habits in order to get on a path of eating right and then losing weight. And we have so many habits that are built in, hardwired somehow, and it's kind of hard to clip them and change them and create new habits.
Right.
But it requires focus. I'm just thinking, I've talked about dental hygiene a few times on this show, and for some reason, I was never raised on flossing.
Right.
My dad did it all the time, but somehow I wasn't taught to do it myself. My mother didn't do it. It wasn't until recently that I really started to have good dental hygiene, where not only do I brush, but I floss, and now I water floss, and it feels great, and I don't like when I don't do it. So I've created a new habit, and I'm thinking of a few things I want to talk about, speaking of dental hygiene, and that is, we're touching on a lot of different things today, the toothbrushes that we now have. I wanted to stop using plastic.
Yes.
And we ordered from...
These toothbrushes are amazing.
Tell us.
They're amazing. These soft natural bristles, the toothbrush itself is made out of wood. It's a very strong wood. I haven't felt it bend yet or anything.
No. And bristles are so lusciously soft.
It's not oversized. It fits nicely into your mouth.
We got them from a company called Zero Waste Cartel.
Right.
Zero Waste Cartel. They have a lot of different interesting products that are not plastic, that are environmentally friendly and vegan. They sell, I think, some bars of shampoos and conditioners. We've also gotten shampoo and conditioner bars, not in bottles, but we got them from another company. But these wooden toothbrushes, I am so excited about. And we bought a lot of them. So we have many for a long time. And there's a place where we don't have to buy plastic anymore.
Right. And the idea of using a bar shampoo and a bar conditioner as opposed to a bottle of shampoo and a bottle conditioner, I didn't even think...
You didn't think that was possible.
They existed.
Yes, that they
do. But they do.
They do.
And that's good news.
And they work. Your hair looks fabulous,
Thank
darling.
You, darling. And there are companies out there that really do want to make a difference. And they don't have the big advertising dollars that companies that pollute have. So that's why we're here.
Yes, to tell you about them. And if you have some products that you know about that don't use plastic that normally do, that you've been using and you like, let us know and we'll share it with everybody. There are just so many things. It's like mind-blowing sometimes. Like,
right.
I never thought that that didn't need to come in a plastic bottle.
Right.
Huh?
Well, again, I never thought that a toothbrush could actually be something that is biodegradable.
Well, there are some people, and I'm not endorsing this, but they recommend cleaning your tooth with twigs and,
right.
you know, trees.
Right. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
I'm not that natural either. I really like these toothbrushes we got from Zero Waste Cartel, and I can't say enough. The bristles are just so delightful.
Yeah, and I'm really happy about Kiss Your Face toothpaste.
There you go.
I really liked it. It was the first time I tried it. So we were trying to get away from Tom's, which has sodium lauryl sulfate.
SLS.
SLS.
And so we're looking for SLS-free products.
Right. In addition to fluoride-free products.
It's tough.
It's very difficult.
And Tom's, I don't know whatever happened, but there was a class action suit against them because they say that they're natural. And we always had a feeling that Tom's was this groovy product in the health food stores. And some of their products are.
I couldn't use their deodorant anymore. I was breaking out. I was using Tom's deodorant as well.
Yeah, it just happened all at once. So right. You switched to Lume.
Oh, as far as an underarm thing? Yeah, Lume. I love it. It's great.
They have wonderful marketing commercials, if you haven't found
them. Their marketing is really clever.
Really, if you want something fun to watch, Google Lume commercials. They're precious.
Yes. This Kiss Your Face.
The toothpaste.
Right.
The sensitive toothpaste.
Right.
That you like.
Has this, it's...
Is it like a citrusy flavor?
Right.
It doesn't have sodium lauryl sulfate.
Which
and it doesn't have
which
fluoride.
Is not good for you.
Yes. Now, some people just like to brush with water.
Right.
I mean, just the action of brushing and rinsing is beneficial.
Yeah.
And then some people just like to brush with baking soda, something. I use EcoDent's baking powder.
We each have our own toothpaste.
We have our own thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of EcoDent, they have a dental floss that I finally discovered.
Right.
That is free of beeswax and any kind of unwanted plastic coatings and things that other dental flosses have.
And it comes in a paper box, not a plastic box.
Yeah. The paper box doesn't hold up very well, but...
But if you have an old plastic box and you want to find a use for it, which you have...
That's right.
You can put your...
Put the EcoDent floss.
EcoDent floss in the old plastic box. Now, here's another thing about the toothbrushes that might be problematic for families. They only come in two colors.
That's right. I don't know if they come in any others. I've only seen the natural light and the natural dark.
Right. The bristles are what we're talking about. So you would have to have a family craft night and have everyone decorate their toothbrush.
That's a good point,
right?
Gary.
I could see everyone getting together and decorating their own toothbrush. This could be a fun thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how you used to... I was a recreation leader on the playgrounds in San Jose, California, and we would have these big boxes of tongue depressors that we would get because these toothbrushes that we're talking about have this tongue depressor kind of color to them. They're natural wood, so you don't want to stick anything in your mouth that's not natural, and it makes a lot of sense when you see this toothbrush because it's like you're putting a very heavy-duty tongue depressor with a bristle at the end of it in your mouth. And so right away, I'm feeling safer just by using this toothbrush. My well-being has been considered by the manufacturer, right? But then I was thinking, well, if you had a large family, because the way I tell my toothbrush from Karen's toothbrush is her bristles are lighter and my bristles are darker, but we keep them in the same glass on our counter in the bathroom. But anyway, I was thinking to myself, well, how could this be good for a family who wants to give each of their family members one of these natural, bristled, wooden, biodegradable toothbrushes? And I thought, well, maybe a family of...
That's a great idea. It's just like every quarter or whenever, let's decorate our new toothbrushes, everybody.
But then I even got a little crazier. And again, I wasn't thinking in the moment. I was spinning all sorts of things. What would you use to decorate your toothbrush that wouldn't be toxic? You certainly couldn't use some food colorings because...
Well, you could probably use an acrylic paint on the bottom of the toothbrush, not near the place that goes in your mouth.
Right. You could get like a little dab of something at the end, but
yeah.
Then you would have to... Everybody would have to touch everybody's toothbrush. Or maybe everybody has their own spot for the toothbrush. Maybe that would be it. Everybody has their own little separate cup, and you keep your toothbrush in your own cup. Or if you're... I'm really going a little overboard on this, aren't I?
I'm glad you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but these toothbrushes, that's the only downside I could see.
Well, anytime you're making a change, you're going to have benefits and you're going to have new challenges.
Right.
You know, we went to replace the plastic garbage bags in our kitchen and we got the biodegradable kind and they're not as sturdy.
they don't last. But that's the point.
They're built not to last.
So they work. You just might have to take your garbage out a little more regularly. Don't let it pile up. We're in a pandemic now, so it's difficult to suit up every time we go take out our garbage.
Yeah, we put our hazmat suits on every time we go into
Because
the
we
hall.
Live in an apartment building, and we have other people on our floor, and we want
and
to
And as much as we love and care about all of them, we don't know where they've been.
We want to do our part to socially distance with the people we love. Some really wonderful things are happening from all of this. We are getting to know our neighbors in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of nice. And the Zoom parties, I want to have more of those because they're a lot of fun.
Well, what's fascinating to me, and it's concerning to me too, is that after we had your surprise birthday party, I was exhausted. I felt like we had just had 20 people over the apartment and we had cooked and cleaned and everything for them.
Yeah, it's the same amount of work. It's if you're cooking for 100 people or you're cooking for four people, it feels to me like it's the same amount of work. I mean, I've done a lot of catering in my life. I have owned restaurants. I have managed restaurants. I have owned a theater. I have produced theater. I've done a lot of things. And it always seems like, with respect to dinner, if we're cooking a dinner for two, as opposed to cooking a dinner for 12, I feel just as exhausted at the end of the dinner for two. You're right. When we did this Zoom party, I felt like we had a house full of people and we had to put all the good china away. I mean, it was really...
Yeah.
But it was fun.
But it was fun. I'm sure many of you know this now, but we've actually been talking to people that we don't normally see or talk to with this Zoom thing. We're reaching out to more people. How are you? Let's connect on Zoom. And we sit and chat with them like they're right here.
We actually had three parties the night
of
my birthday.
Yeah.
We talked to three separate groups of people.
Yeah.
We talked to my family, your family, and then...
And your surprise party.
And my surprise party, which was great. So I highly recommend getting together with your friends on Zoom. It's really
But
a
getting
lot of
together
fun.
For dinner.
For dinner,
yeah,
absolutely.
Make yourself a nice celebratory meal, something special, something you can show off to everybody on the screen. Look what I made.
Yeah, because it really does help your mental health to do that, especially now that we're having so many different things going on in the world that aren't helping mental health collectively. There's a lot of really, really wonderful benefits to this new technology that's allowing us to connect. It can heal. I really feel that way. In addition to running today, I'm going to organize another Zoom dinner.
Okay.
Maybe even a Zoom festival.
A festival.
Maybe even a Zoom festival.
Maybe we can have like a real Zoom festival.
There you go. We can see some of you folks out there who are listening to us.
I like that idea.
We should organize something immediately.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, I mean, you did the big Lincoln Center Festival, which I'm sure a lot of folks don't realize, but when you were executive director of EarthSave International, you organized the first vegan food festival.
I think it was the first, but you know, I don't know what happened in the 200 years before I had
so tell us
festival.
A little, because there's a lot of festivals that are going to be canceled or brought to Zoom this summer. Tell us about your first experience with organizing the Lincoln Center Vegan Food Festival.
Yeah, what was interesting and exciting about it, interesting then and exciting now, is to see how much change we've had and how much growth we've had and what grassroots activism really has done and grown this food movement. Because I ran this festival in 2002, 2003, 4, 5, and 6 for 5 years. And it was at Lincoln Center, which was a great location because there's so much traffic. And we had different years. We had 5,000 to 10,000 people attend this event. We had speakers and exhibitors and music. And it was a wonderful event. And it was free.
Free.
And it was free. But the challenge that I had, in order to pay for this event, I would charge for the tables for people to exhibit. And there weren't a lot of food companies back then or food companies that were set up.
Because the criteria was you had to have a vegan.
Had to be vegan.
I had a vegan product, right.
Right. And there were some clever people. There was this one guy who had a Middle Eastern food company. And it was no problem for him to just serve the hummus and the salads and the falafel. He was set up for that and he was there. And then we would have Mewa.
Ah, Mewa.
Which is this Asian company that makes all kinds of
Plant-based meats.
Plant-based meats. They've been doing it forever.
Before Beyond Burger, before Impossible Burger, before Just, there was Mewa.
And they're still doing it. Look for Mewa online.
Yeah.
I think it's called Lily's Foods now.
And Lily was always out there.
She was.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting time because people really weren't familiar with the vegan word or what veganism was. It wasn't the beginning of the movement, but we had not really made great headway yet. I think the biggest increase started when the internet started to explode with Facebook and other social networking things. So the year that we stopped, 2006, was kind of when Facebook started. And right. Then things really started to explode.
And now there are vegan festivals everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
That are canceled.
That are now canceled, and I'm sure that they will go online and do these formats. But my point in bringing all of this up is maybe we need to do the same thing at Responsible Eating and Living so we can see some of our listeners, some of our
I think
followers.
That's an interesting idea, something so, we are going to you, chew on the, after we go on our run today.
Yeah. You, the organizer of the Lincoln Center Vegan Festival, can organize this Responsible Eating and Living Festival.
I won't have to stuff 2,000 bags with freebies to give away.
Right. But it was very successful. So my hat's off to you. And I'm not wearing a hat.
I have no idea how I did it. I have no idea. It sounds so daunting to me now.
Right. But it was there and you did it. So congratulations.
Thank you. When there's a will, there's a way.
And I think we need to bring it back. Only bring it back at Responsible Eating and Living.
Okay. Well, look, we have talked ourselves into another hour.
Okay.
And I think we should wrap it up.
Well, okay. Everybody, thanks for listening today. Hopefully we've brought a little more confusion to your life to distract you from the other confusions going on. Thanks for having me on the show again, Karen.
Thank you for being there. I really enjoy doing this program with you.
I enjoy being here with you.
And I enjoy being here with everybody. You make me feel good knowing that you're out there and you care.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Stay safe.
Stay safe and
have a delicious week. Thank you.